little nippy out there. Got a little cold, so that was a little unexpected. But winter is back. So take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. Use this as kind of a little bit of a springboard for our thought and discussion here this evening. We are looking at scripture, James chapter 4, that tells us, kind of smacks us around a little bit, rebukes us, saying, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So if we, you know, I just, there's an element that says I didn't know the world and God was so far apart. But they have to be exact opposites, to the place where you cannot possibly love one without hating the other, and you can't hate one without loving the other. And so when we look at God and his character, the world has to be the opposite of that and who he is. And we looked at that the world is a present evil age versus God, who has an eternal good plan for us and who he is. We see this aspect that the word friendship is used twice in the book of James. Once it's used here, I mean, technically it's used twice here, I think. Friendship with the world is used twice here in James 4:4, but it's used one other time in the book, and that's in, James chapter 2, to say Abraham was a friend of God. And so we looked at that last time, that what God did to make us friends. We were enemies, we were hostile to him, and God sent his son so that we might have righteousness given as a gift, imputed right into our account. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham. He believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So God wants to be friends with people who believe him, people who trust him. So that really becomes the foundation. You say, how can I be a friend of God? Well, the first thing we must do is we must have faith. We must believe him and trust him. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please him. So actually, in that verse of scripture, he talks about Enoch, I think it is, where he had a testimony that he pleased God. He said, well, if he pleased God, he had to have faith, because you have to have faith to please God. And so this is what we're going to see in terms of any relationship through all the hall of faith. Every character, if they pleased God and had a relationship with him, they first and fundamentally, they simply believe what God said. So God, that really, we can draw nigh with a full assurance of faith through faith. I'm just kind of looking. I went through a little bit in terms of the scripture, and I said, well, let's do a little study on friendship in the Bible and see what exactly is a friend and what do they do. And obviously, the opposite helps us understand. A friend is not an enemy. They're for you. They're not against you. There's not hostility. There is a desire, a heart to benefit you. I find it interesting, in probably the best passage for us as believers to think about friendship is in John 15. So we're going to look at several other verses, but John 15 is where we're going to look at multiple different verses here. John 15, verse 15, he says, "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Now, how does this relate to Abraham? Abraham's a friend of God. Does the story come to mind? Not ringing the bell yet. Let's say we can do it. Abraham, God came down, he was with Abraham, and he said, you know what? Abraham's my friend. Why don't I tell him what's going to happen? And he tells him what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that friendship, started what? What happened after God says he tells them what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, he drew them down. All right, they had ongoing communication with each other. And there was a communion through intercession. Do you think God wanted that to happen? I think so. I think that's part of the whole aspect of what was going on. And so we're going to see this on Sunday, that Moses is considered, that he talked with God face to face. And we're going to see that when God seems like he's talking harshly to Moses, he said, "Leave me alone." But in that, I don't want to steal my thunder, because I think there's kind of like, "Oh, I want to tell him, oh, there's a little secret there." But God was actually saying, "I'm not going to do anything until you leave." He's saying, I'm held in a bond between you and me, and until you leave me alone, I'm not. He's saying, go away, because I'm not going to do anything until you leave. He's like, and Moses stayed. And he communed with God. And he began to beg God. But God wanted that. He wanted there to be an intercessor, someone to have communication. So just interesting in terms of those who are good friends with God, you see a parallel that they have the heart of God for other people. And they begin to pray and intercede for others. That's not necessarily exactly, but if you and I want to be a friend of God, then we have to know that God is going to open up himself to us. Does that mean that I'm never going to have any mystery and not know why everything's going on in my life? I don't think that's necessarily what he's talking about. I think there are things that we are still going to have to take. If that was the case, you wouldn't have to walk by faith. And God wants you to live by faith. That's the whole purpose. But God is going to reveal himself to us. So what you have to understand is I may not know why God's doing what he's doing, but I can know that he wants to communicate himself to me in the circumstances. He is a friend, and a friend communicates his heart to his friend. You know, the same thing happens with us and God. If we're a friend of God, that means you speak to God not with just pleasantries and niceties, but you speak plainly and frankly to God. It's interesting. Job says this. He says, "He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail." Like, if you've got a friend, then you should be able to tell them exactly what's on your heart, exactly what's on your mind. The Bible even says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." You know, there are some people out there that are just constantly, they're saying nice, good things to you, but they're really not your friend. But a friend will tell you what you need to hear. Friends willing to wound you because they love you. In terms of how that all works with God. But I think there's an aspect that we need to have frank communication with God. If we kind of have a long-distance relationship with God, I mean that sometimes our prayers are kind of like, "Dear Lord, I know you're far, far away." We don't necessarily talk about that way, but we just, I'll say this, we can pray without ever expecting God to answer us in our prayer, in the prayer, like talking back to us. We don't pause to listen. We're not carrying on a conversation. We're just doing a one-way voicemail leave, dropping off all these words, and it's really not a communication. It's not a communion with a friend. God wants us to get down and just speak what's on our heart. If you're discouraged, tell God you're discouraged. And if you're a sinner, you tell God you're a sinner. And if you're angry, you tell him you're angry. But you be honest and open and upfront with God. It doesn't mean that there's not an element of submission. Of course, you know, Moses and Abraham, both of them, they said, "Dear Lord, please don't bear me one more time. Let me speak." But he spoke his heart. And God wants us to do that. See here. Friend is loyal. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity." It means here someone is really close to you. And when you're going through a hard time, you know who your friends are because they still stick with you. And they still care for you. says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than blood. Someone that wants to be so close and intimate, even when your family is abandoned. And we see this if you're still in John 15. He says in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has demonstrated that he wants to be our friend. He has demonstrated a love and a loyalty to us. And we ought to respond with the same kind of sacrificial love. But how does it look in our lives? He died on the cross for us. So how do we reciprocate that love and that friendship? If I see in the text there. Yes, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command. You demonstrate that you truly want to be God's friend, that you're loyal to Him because what He commands you. So may God help us to walk with Him. It starts with faith, it continues in open communication, and it demonstrates itself in loyalty to our God that is willing to obey Him no matter what He asks. We will be a friend of God. You know, if you're a friend of God, you won't be the friend of the world. There will be a hostility that comes because partly what God commands us to do is not to live by the lust of our flesh. That selfish aspect of life that just controls and dominates, that's worldliness. But living for the love of Jesus Christ, that cross, bearing that cross and following Him, our Savior. That is totally the opposite of what the world wants. The difference will be clear. It'll be stark. It'll be supernatural. You can't do this on your own. You need the Lord's help. All right. We'll go ahead and